environmental sustainability in music. Maybe not the first place your mind goes this Tuesday morning, but there's more and more musos signing on their commitment to help curb emissions in practical ways at their unique job sites. Green Music Australia has released Sound Country, a first-of-its-kind comprehensive green artist guide. It's a 60-plus page sustainability handbook breaking down all the ways artists can green their practice. Green Music Australia CEO Berish Balander joins us this morning. Hello, mate.
Taylor, lovely to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Get us up to speed on Green Music Australia. When did it start? What's it all about?
Oh, we're almost a decade old now. And it started by a guy called Tim Hollow, who straddled the worlds of environmental activism, working for folks like Greenpeace, and also on the other side, touring with a band called Foreplay, a string quartet that plays things like Metallica songs. And he was seeing firsthand the carnage that sometimes happens on a beautiful festival site where you're all standing on plastic waste as you watch your favourite bands. And he thought, there's got to be something we can do about this. Artists are pretty switched on. They want to see change in the world. Why aren't we leading that change? So he started the org and I joined some 6 years ago, and here we are launching what we hope is going to be this really critical resource to help artists green their practice and step up on climate advocacy.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting and pretty comprehensive resource that you've put together. Talk to us about Sound Country. How did this come about?
Yeah, thank you. We're pretty stoked with it. It came about because an artist called Jessica Cerro, widely known as Montaigne, joined our board some 4 or so years ago. And one of the first things she did was share with me a few bits and pieces that she'd been jotting down as advice for other fellow artists. Like, here's recommend that your fans wear this eco glitter, and here's some merch ideas. And there were just bits and pieces. And she said, Berish, is this the beginnings of something? Do you reckon we could grow this into a useful guide for artists? And I was 100% into it. So we started progressing that, and you sort of fast forward a couple of years in mid-pandemic, and we managed to get two wonderful authors on board, a guy called Matt Wicking, who's a singer-songwriter himself, but also a long-time sustainability expert. And excitingly, we were joined by Rhoda Roberts, who's a Bundjalung elder, and she's been programming First Nations acts for the, many decades, I'd say. And Rhoda helped us really flesh out the First Nations First section, which we think is just absolutely critical when it comes to talking about environmentalism and caring for country. I mean, First Nations peoples have been doing it for millennia here. So, we come to this point now, 2 years later, where Creative Victoria helped us launch the guide, and now it's publicly available. There's an interactive website and, as you said, a 60-plus page handbook that people can delve into.
It's really exciting because this entire resource is not just idealised concepts, not just, oh, what if we could do this or we should do this. It's case studies and written there by those two authors with sort of evidence and research to support the ideas. One of the things that I want to talk about, and we'll get into some of those practical steps that musicians can take shortly, but one of the things that I want to touch on, we saw here in Western Australia, musicians being some of the very first and people in the arts community being some of the very first to put their hands up and help to raise money for victims of floods and bushfires in the last few years. Why is it important, Berish, that the music industry continues to turn its attention to environmental protection or preservation in their own practice?
Oh, such a good question. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons. Maybe first and foremost is that the climate crisis touches everything and is going to affect everyone, and no sector is immune. So, you know, if we want to be playing outdoor concerts in the years to come, if we want to have venues operational that can handle the steep increases in insurance that are coming as a result of things like extreme weather events or even the pandemic, which is linked to the changing climate and the deforestation in parts of the world. Like, I think we've all got to step up, and musicians for a long time have been at the forefront of major social movements, from, you know, whether it's the apartheid or the civil rights moments or here, I think, you know, musicians helped open our eyes to the Stolen Generation. They've got a role to play in switching our culture around to be more earth-aligned, you know, less extractive, less... Certainly the disposable single-use plastics is, I think, evidence of a real disconnect between the way we live and the way we need to live. So, yeah, artists are going to play a central role and are super interested and are already, well, have done for so long, devoted so much of their energy and talents to supporting, yeah, people affected by these issues. And I think it's only natural that they're going to also be thinking, oh, how can I make my touring, my recording, everything that I do as green as possible to align with my values?
We're speaking this morning with Berish Belander, the CEO of Green Music Australia, talking about their Sound Country project. It's a comprehensive resource for musicians to green their practice in many, many different ways. Berish, there's so many people that have already attached their names to Green Music Australia, to this project. Montaigne, you mentioned earlier, Paul Kelly, Missy Higgins, Midnight Oil, Gotye. What about for some of our local musicians who are listening right now? I know they can head online and access the handbook and the resources, but what are some of the really simple, really practical things to maybe think about that they could enact immediately?
Oh, look, I'll give you one. Super easy. Have a look at where your money is. You know, as I said, we're trying to align our practice with our values, and we sometimes don't even think about who we're banking with, where our superannuation is. It's a super practical and easy thing to do. It's simply make the switch to a more ethical company. So, you know, I bank with Bank Australia personally, but there are others, and that's not the only one that's like committed to not lending any money to the fossil fuel industry that's ripping our country apart and fueling the climate crisis. So there's plenty of information in the guide about that specifically, but that's one for example. There's a lot of information also around ways to purchase ethical merch. Some folks like In Heart's Wake are really leading the way. They're, you know, making sure that all the packaging is plastic free, and they are also doing things like organic cotton, so making sure the agricultural practices and are both ethical from a labour perspective, but also are not hurting the land that the raw materials are being grown on.
All right, so many different avenues to have a look down, both for people who are making music, people who are putting shows on as well. I found a lot of great insight and was very elated to see a lot of things that RTR are also doing when we're putting live gigs on as well. Berish Belander, thank you very much for your time this morning. And folks, if you want to go and have a look at the Sound Country Guide, you can find it at the Green Music Australia website. We'll pop a link up on our website as well. Berish, thank you very much for your time.
Taylor, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on. And yeah, we're here for any musicians out there that are interested in going green. So check us out. Reach out if you've got any questions.